Well, good morning, everyone. If you need a Bible, ask the ushers, just lift up your hand and the ushers will bring you one gladly. Also, this is a good time to put your phones on silent if your phones are here, if you have your phones here. So Pastor Pete asked me to help him with the message today, and obviously, but you know, it just comes to mind, just we all need help. We all, and from time to time, we are in need of help. And the Lord Jesus promises a special helper, and that's who we're going to talk about today. We're going to be in John 14, and we're going to focus on a passage in chapter 14, verse 15 to 18. So you want to start getting your Bibles ready. I'd love to hear the pages of Bibles, you know, just turn. It just, I know we have, you know, apps now on our phone, but it's not the same. You can't put notes, like even Carrie, you mentioned that. You can't put notes on, you know, that well on your phone. And there's no distractions. There's no notifications while you're reading. You know, ding, ding, it's just, you're able to read. Well, once again, let's commit this to the Lord. Abba, Father, you are full of splendor and glory and honor, clothed in majesty. Holy, holy, holy is your name. You are holy, 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 and worthy of all praise. Thank you for revealing yourself through creation. Thank you for revealing yourself through your word, through your son Jesus, our Redeemer. All our goodness is in you. We have nothing to offer, nothing to bring. We just come as we are, Lord, and how we are in need of help. We cannot do anything good apart from you, Lord. And we thank you for your word. We ask that you would sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. I pray you would guide my words, Lord, and that you would have your way. Whatever is of me, let it be forgotten, Lord. What is of you, let it be retained in our hearts. Let it change us, transform us, renew our minds. And may we, Lord, receive what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The disciples had walked with Jesus for about 3 years now, and they had witnessed healings, miracles, the feeding of the 5,000 and the 3,000. They had walked with him, heard him speak and teach. He spoke like no one else. And now they find themselves in the upper room as Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. And he explains to them a mystery. He reveals to them that he's about to leave them, but that he's not going to leave them orphans. He's not going to leave them without help. He promises them another helper. So let's read our passage, and then we'll study it verse by verse. Today we'll begin again. We're in John chapter 14, verse 15 to 18. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Jesus makes reference to the helper. This must have been another moment of when the disciples just look at each other and wonder, he's leaving? Who is he talking about? Another helper. If you've been coming to our church for a while, this is the Bible teaching church, you know, and you know that he was referring to the Holy Spirit. But in a group this size, surely there is someone here with questions. You know, questions regarding the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to start with a disclaimer. This is not going to be an exhaustive study on the Holy Spirit, but my prayer is that it causes a curiosity. It It awakens a curiosity and awareness of him, and then causes you to seek him more, to welcome him, to long for him. I welcome you to take notes. You'll be able to take more with you. But before we talk about the Holy Spirit, let's clear up first what he is not. He is not a powerful force like Star Wars. He's not, you know, as we hear that in the movies, Star Wars, "I feel the force strong with you, Luke." No, it's not a force. It's, for example, you can't lie to gravity. You can't tell gravity, you can't insult it and say, you know, "Gravity, I don't believe in you, you're crazy," you know. It doesn't have feelings. A force does not have feelings. For example, in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 3, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied about their prophet. They sold some property and they lied about the prophet. And it says that they lied to the Holy Spirit. They didn't. So you can't lie to a force. So the Holy Spirit is not a force. It is a person. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is not a feeling or a type of enthusiasm, like when you're listening to a song and you just feel that feeling or that warmth. Or some people, sometimes they start crying. Sometimes some people even faint. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not enthusiasm and emotion. He is a person. Many people have attended, you've seen the videos, people gone to concerts, Elvis Presley concerts, Michael Jackson concerts, and people cry and they faint and they're carried out. Right? Well, they go back to their party life. They go back to their life of sin. And the Holy Spirit will not fill a person and allow them to continue in a life of sin. That's why a lot of people are not interested in the Holy Spirit. That's why a lot of people don't hunger for the Holy Spirit. Because they love darkness more than light. Because they don't want nobody directing their life. They don't want nobody instructing them, guiding them. They want to do as they feel. Some make the mistake of wanting the Holy Spirit as something extra, an addition to their possessions or power. Something extra, like Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, verse 18. When he saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, "Give me this power so I can do the same thing that you guys are doing." He wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. Like someone that wanted just a special membership to something, some club, like a diamond ring on your finger or like a new suit, something to impress others with, something to enhance them, but they're not willing to surrender. Not willing to surrender to him as Lord. The Holy Spirit will not be an extra addition to anyone. He must be Lord or he will not come at all. Verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Again, the Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity. One times one times one. It is not one plus one plus one. No, it is one times one times one. One God, but three persons. The Holy Spirit has a will. He has knowledge. He has sympathy and the ability to love and see and think and hear and speak and desire and grieve and rejoice. It is through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we have received prophecy in the Word of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 10 to 12. It says, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us, that they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. It was the Holy Spirit who enabled the prophets of old to speak the scriptures of things yet to come. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 tells us, all scripture is by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. When you love someone, you're interested in what they have to say. In our day and age, we carry these little things. And we get text messages, right? Some text messages are automated. Some are computer-generated, reminders, doctor appointments. Some of them are just promotions and junk mail. Those type, they're not on my priority. But when my wife sends me a text, I give it my full attention. Because she's my bride, my beloved wife. I want to know what she needs. I want to hear her. And she's interested in what I text her. In a similar way, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through His Word, through His commandments. He comforts us. He encourages us. He equips us for what we're going to face in the day. He knows what is ahead, what you're going to face today. He knows what you're going to confront today. And so He wants to equip you and encourage you and to help you so you can look forward and not be discouraged when that test comes. He wants to equip you. Unfortunately, many are so busy that they don't give Him the time of day. We neglect His Word. We neglect prayer. And we're, by doing that, we're avoiding Him and neglecting Him. And it grieves Him. When you grieve someone, it's because they love you. Suppose you have a teenage child, and he's starting to hang out with the wrong kind of friends. You're seeing signs of rebellion. And suppose that you get a call from school, you got to come to the principal's office, your child is there, and you arrive to school, and there's a police car there. And then you get to the principal's office, and you see a policeman there. You see your child and their friend, both in handcuffs, sitting in the principal's office. You would probably feel pity and feel sorry for the other boy, the other girl, but not for your child. Your own child would grieve you. And that is similar to the Holy Spirit. We grieve Him because He loves us. Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When we rebel against Him, when we know to do good and we do not do it, when the Holy Spirit is moving you to forgive someone, when the Holy Spirit is moving you to serve, when the Holy Spirit is warning you to flee that temptation, but you choose to continue your own way, we grieve Him when we do that. In contrast, when we obey His Word, when we welcome Him into our lives, when we desire to please Him, when we do that, He responds like a loving mother would respond. He embraces you. He comforts you. He strengthens you because He loves us. Verse 16, And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. There's many churches who hire these really talented singers and bands, and they have maybe a very good speaker. Maybe he's funny. He can articulate very well. And he has the group engage, a staff that is very well skilled and talented in everything they do. But if the Holy Spirit left that church, how long would it take for them to notice? Jesus said that the Father will give you another helper, meaning of the same kind, like Jesus. How would the Holy Spirit act towards children? How did Jesus respond to children? Do you remember? Come. Don't hinder them from coming. Let them come to me. How would the Holy Spirit respond if we were caught in the middle of some kind of sin? We're confronted with it. We repent, but we feel shame. How did Jesus find that woman caught in adultery? What did he say to her? That's the Holy Spirit as well. The disciples, like sheep following their shepherd, depended on Jesus for everything. They found themselves surrounded by a hungry multitude. It was Jesus who multiplied the fish and the bread. When they encountered people who were demon-possessed, it was Jesus' voice that caused the demons to flee. When the disciples were on the boat that stormy night, filled with fear as they saw the waves and the wind tossing the boat around, what did they do? Jesus, Jesus, we're going to drown. They woke up Jesus. They cried for help. And it was at the command of Jesus that the waves and the storm became still. And I'm afraid that often we grow accustomed to depending on our own skills, our own understanding. We get used to doing things on our own. Church life, ministry, life in itself, our work. We get used to doing things without asking the Holy Spirit for help. And we go on. We go on our boat and we start paddling. And then we wait till the storm comes. Then we wait for the waves to come. I've read somewhere that our comfort zone is a place where faith goes to sleep. Comfort zone is where faith goes to sleep. You ever noticed when you're on a plane, smooth flying, everything's good. You start even relaxing. You put your headphones on and just relaxing there. And then suddenly, boom, boom, boom. You start hearing the shaking and everything. People waking up. Boom, boom, boom. Some people start reading their Bibles. You see all kinds of different behavior, you know. Right? Why is it? It is the shaking. It is a reminder that you're not in control. And we seek the Lord. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, is available. He wants us to depend on Him. How often we go on ahead without relying on Him. He doesn't leave us. He promises not to. But perhaps, like Jesus on the boat, He's waiting for us to call upon Him. Jesus had a lot to say about the Holy Spirit in the upper room. Basically, that we cannot live a Christian life without him, without his help. Ephesians 1:13-14 says that, I'm just going to paraphrase, but it says that a person receives the gospel and believes in the Lord Jesus. And when he does that, he is sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is our guarantee of inheritance, which means the Holy Spirit dwells in a follower of Christ. The Holy Spirit will abide in the believer because he is a gift from the Father, an answer to Jesus' prayer. Jesus prayed for this. Verse 17, you guys okay? You got really quiet, so I just want to make sure that there's a pulse here. Verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit two special names: Helper or Comforter, and also the Spirit of Truth. The Greek word translated for Comforter or Helper is Parakletos, which meaning alongside, to assist us, our intercessor, our advocate. An advocate is someone who represents you at court and stands at your side to plead your case. But you know him, it says in verse 17, you know him, for he dwells with you. That word with, Greek, is para, at your side. And it says, and will be in you. That's in you. The Greek word is en. It's just almost like the English. It's a fixed position. Notice this is future tense. He's referring to the filling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit the disciples will receive later in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit encourages us and enables us to face life with courage and with strength. He doesn't work instead of us. He doesn't work in spite of us, but in us and through us. The other name here is the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is related to Jesus, the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Word of God is the truth. The Holy Spirit cannot lie or be associated with any lies. He never leads us to do anything contrary to the Word of God. Unless you've been living in a cave or under a rock, you can see that this culture is destitute of truth. It's deprived of truth. It's in really bad need of truth. When the president of the United States has to sign an executive order stating that there is only two genders, male and female, it means we have a crisis of truth. The world has traded the truth for the lie for so long that it cannot comprehend it. Verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. As I mentioned earlier, the world is not interested in the Holy Spirit. We all inherited the sinful nature from Adam and Eve. You don't agree with me? Do you agree with me? Sometimes we even lie to the Holy Spirit. We say in our prayer, Lord, I'm such a fool. And then somebody driving next to you says, hey, you fool, I'm not a fool, you're a fool. Right? In your prayer, you might be saying, "But I'm so impatient. I'm a worm." And your wife calls you a worm, and you get mad. You answer back. We won't allow anybody else to cause that. But we say that in a pious way unto the Lord. "I am a sinner." But we argue with people when they call you a sinner. We're quickly to defend ourselves. We all inherited this sinful nature, this self-righteousness, this self-love. Without conversion, without being born again of the Spirit, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man, he's not interested in the Spirit of God. It's just he doesn't have a craving for the Lord. It is impossible without the work of the Holy Spirit, without repentance, without being born again. The Bible says in John 1:32 that when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, John testified he saw the Spirit descending from heaven upon Jesus like a dove. In Genesis chapter 8, there is an interesting illustration. After Noah and his family and the animals had been together in the ark for a long time, the flood had finally reached its peak, the rains had stopped, and God caused the waters to recede. I'm going to read Genesis 8, verses 6 to 9. Is it going to be up there? Yeah? Good. You guys can follow along, or you can turn your Bibles to that. But it says, "So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself." Now try to imagine with me. After many days, Noah and his family have been in this ark for a long time. And now they open the window of the ark to see if there's any land. And so Noah sends out a raven. And the raven, a black bird, is just flying over the sky. And what does he see? He sees floating dead cattle, dead creatures floating, dead, bloated, dead corpse, floating corpse. And that raven lands on a corpse and starts eating the flesh. That raven is at home. He's a scavenger. He's at home eating that corruption. He's fine with landing on a dead, bloated animal. Those are the conditions the raven feels right at home in. This is an illustration of how things are in the world today. Corrupted by evil and sin. But notice the dove, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. He could not stand that corruption. The dove, a picture of the Holy Spirit, it returns to the ark. And Noah extends his arm and it comes back in. It returned. Because it does not share the nature of the raven, which is accustomed. That raven is accustomed to corruption. Many times the Holy Spirit, like the dove, is looking for a place to land. Would he find our church a good place to rest? The scripture says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is your heart a safe place for him to rest? Is my heart a safe place for him to rest? Is there unconfessed sin? Is there envy, lust, jealousy, resentment, covetousness, hatred, murderous thoughts? What do you think would happen if we took Jesus' promise seriously? If before letting this conviction wear off, before rushing out, we actually stood still before the Lord and we truly humbled ourselves before the Lord and waited upon him to search us, to speak to us, instead of rushing out to lunch and going about our week and to the next thing, what if we just rested before the Lord and remained still? When that last song plays, if we just, instead of being in a hurry, we just pause, let the Holy Spirit have his way in us, what would happen? What would happen if we began, if the Holy Spirit brought something upon our hearts and we confess it to the Lord? Not, you don't have to tell me or anyone, this is between you and the Lord. His word promises that he will never reject a broken and contrite spirit. Sometimes we're really in a hurry. Have you ever maybe, I don't know, for you married couples, you hear your spouse say something and your mind was somewhere else. And your spouse says, were you listening to me? I do that a lot. She does it to me. I mean, tell me. I could be thinking of 10 other things and she's been trying to explain something and she realizes she doesn't have all my attention. How many times does the Holy Spirit have to say that to us? Are you listening? I have something really important to share. Verse 18. You guys good? Verse 18 says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. The Greek word for orphans also means comfortless. Comfortless. True comfort strengthens us so that we can face life bravely, so that we can keep on going. We all need comfort. There are some of you, it costs you to make it to church this morning. Some of you went through so much just to come. It cost you more than it cost others. For some, it was just getting up, getting that coffee, combing your hair, and coming. You're here. For others, wow, because of physical issues, sickness, or other things, it took you a huge effort just to come, maybe with the assistance of somebody. But you're here. And you're here welcoming the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And he wants to comfort you. And he wants to encourage you. Because he wants to use you to encourage others. After his resurrection, Jesus instructed the disciples not to leave Jerusalem. Kind of what I've been saying, wait, don't be in a hurry, wait. Don't take off yet. There's something else I want to give you. Someone else I going to send to you. Don't be in a hurry. He says, wait here in Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father. Don't be in a hurry to leave. Wait. In Acts 1, verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That word power, the Greek is dynamis. That's where they got the word dynamite in the English language, where they pulled it out from. Sometimes we focus too much on dynamite or the power. Yes, it says there, you know, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. But that word also means something else. It means ability. Ability. Some people can pick up a violin and they just have the ability to make it sound beautiful. Some people sit on the piano and just play beautifully. Some people can play the ukulele beautiful. Some people can work with wood, do carpentry. But not everybody can do these things. Everybody has different abilities. Some people can look at a paragraph in a book and remember it. Not me. Short-term memory. Everybody has different abilities. But here, this passage says that the Holy Spirit would grant these disciples the ability to be his witnesses. The ability to do what he caused them to do. The Lord wants to give you the ability. Each one of us is as close to the Lord as we want to be. We're as filled as we want to be. Some of us, we just want to run on a half tank. That's okay. Some of us are running on low. The dashboard has the yellow light on, and you just keep pushing it. Don't you want to have the ability to do more? Do we want the ability to be a better husband, a better wife, better parent? Do we want the ability to be better in our job, a better witness? Do we want the ability to have a better testimony in the community, to be able to go to a stranger and invite them to church? Do we want the ability to talk to the servicemen that came to your house to fix your pipes or whatever? Do you want the ability to be able to share your testimony? Each one of you has a testimony. I can't share your testimony. That's your testimony, your story. And your story is powerful. It's mighty. You have witnessed God's faithfulness in your life. Look back. You are witnesses of when you cried out to the Lord in time of need, and he heard you, and he rescued you before. We all go through these valleys. But if we look back, there was a time in our life when we cried out to him in time of need, and he rescued us. And that's why we're still here. Or do you want to run on a half tank or on low fuel? Each one of us is as close, as filled as we desire to be. But the truth is that not everybody wants the Holy Spirit. You have to agree with him. If two people walk, they agree to walk a path. For example, you know, the two that walked on the road to Emmaus. They have to agree to walk together. Maybe one walks really fast. Maybe the other one has little short strides. Well, the one that has really long strides can say, "You're going to hold me back." And the one that has really low, short steps can say, "I'm having trouble keeping up with you." Well, they have to agree to walk together, to walk at a certain pace, and to walk in the same direction, right? The trouble is, many of us, we don't want to agree with the Holy Spirit. We think we know better. Well, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end leads to death. The Lord does not want you to walk alone. He wants to fill you and enable you and strengthen you and comfort you. The question is, are we willing? Are we hungry for Him? Are we desiring of more of Him? If you're not ready, and I know in a group this large, some of you will just go home and continue on your business. But some of you will take this invitation seriously. And if you do, believe it, you will receive His help. But be ready, because you're on for a beautiful adventure. Acts 2, verse 38 to 39. Then Peter said to them, this is Peter, who stood on the day of Pentecost. He spoke to the crowd regarding the promise of the Holy Spirit, and the crowd asked him, "Men, brethren, what should we do?" This is the new Peter. This is a filled by the Holy Spirit Peter. And in Acts 2, verse 38, he says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" The promise is for you, and for me, and for our children, and for our grandchildren. We're almost done. Luke 11, 13 says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" You parents, we have such a beautiful privilege to get just a little bit of the perspective of how God looks at us. That scripture a little bit earlier says, if your child asked for a bread, you wouldn't give him a snake. If he asked for an egg, you wouldn't give him a scorpion, right? If we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more the Father wants to give us the Holy Spirit. He desires to bless you and equip you with the Holy Spirit so you can go on and have the ability to do school well, to do work well, to do ministry well. Whatever it is that you're going to do, He wants to enable you and equip you, give you the ability that you need. The promise is for you, for me, for our children and grandchildren. But it begins with us being willing. And this is where it begins, that first of all, a person needs to be born again. You need to acknowledge, you're right. I am a sinner, and you are holy, and I have sinned against you. And you need to confess that to the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God. All of us are tainted, all of us. Like trying to clean your hands when your hands are oily. You can't do it by yourself. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Bible says in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't even wait for us to say, I'm sorry. He didn't wait for us to do anything. We can't do anything for ourselves, but while we were yet sinners, dead in our sins, the Lord did all this work to reconcile us, to buy us back, to purchase our peace with God. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And Romans 10:13 says, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a promise. If you've never done this, we encourage you as the worship team comes up that you take this moment to invite him in to be your Savior, your Lord, your Redeemer. And just agree with him. I have sinned against you. Forgive me. I want you to be I ask that you be my Lord, my Savior. I want to know you. In your own words. If I said something to hurt my wife's feelings, would she want to hear the apology from you or from me? Right? Because I'm the one that offended her. And the same thing, the Lord wants to hear it from you. If you already have made this commitment, if you already are born again, and you've just been running low on the Holy Spirit because you realize through this word that you've been neglecting him and grieving him, take this time as a song is being led. Take this time to give your heart to the Lord and just say, Lord, I want more of you. But do it sincerely and cautiously. Don't do it unless you mean it. Because the Lord will bless you and he will enable you. If we're going to welcome him, let's welcome him with all our hearts. He is here right now. Did you know that? Many times we go through all this thing to welcome a guest. We'll look for the best seat. We'll honor this guest. We'll make the way. We'll get some water for them, for our guest, something for them to eat. We have the greatest guest of all right here, right now. Have we made room for him? Have we welcomed him? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to remain still before you. For you are holy, holy, holy. You are good. You are faithful. And Lord, we want to take this time to just open our hearts to you. Holy Spirit of the living God, search us. Please forgive us for the times that we have grieved you. We welcome you, Lord. We ask that you would search us and wash us and renew our minds. We want more of you. We need more of you. Forgive us for the times that we depend on our own skills or abilities, or because we've done things so many times, or we've done it for years. Sometimes we just take it for granted, Lord. Help us to to be desperate and for you and to hear your voice and let you lead us, that we may walk with you, walk in your Spirit. Thank you, Father. Bless this time as we give it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.